friends, this is Andy and Hedia coming to you live from Orange County, California. How are you, my love?
I am fantastic.
Are you worn out from our extremely busy day?
No, I think I've got a renewed vigor with this amazing devotional.
Renewed vigor?
Yes. I like my big words.
I do. We've had quite the spiritual weekend, I think.
Yes.
It's been pretty awesome. We went to Your Blended Friends Church last night for the worship last night and the message from Matthew Cork.
Yes.
And it's part of the rhythm. I was going to say the rhythm method. Wow. That took me back to my Catholic days.
Part of the rhythm Bible study you're doing.
The rhythm Bible study that I'm in. Oops. And it got us started on the right foot. We came home. We listened to a song by
Corey Asbury,
and it's the 99.
The Reckless Love. It's actually one. A very...
Reckless Love.
Yeah, God's Reckless Love, something like that, which has been around for a long time, but we listened to a commentary of a non-Christian
listening to it. And he got emotional.
Yes.
And it moved him.
It did.
I wonder what he was doing today, because that was about a year ago, I think, that he did that, maybe 2 years
ago.
Yeah.
I was actually curious to look him up.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. And then we went to Calvary Chapel, Chula Hills, which we'll surely be talking about later. We usually like to do a wrap-up on Sundays about our great pastor, Jack Hibbs, over at Calvary Chapel, Chula Hills. And some really good messages there.
Yes.
And now reading this devotional beforehand.
Absolutely.
It's called A Higher Standard. We're reading from Smith Wigglesworth's devotional. This is the book right here. And we're reading from this book.
That drives me crazy. It's like the book has a tail.
Yeah, it doesn't come with the little tail there. But for September 26th, the higher standard. And I'm going to tell you, it is a higher standard. And
yes.
We
need to learn about this higher standard.
So when you come on, leave a message and comment and let us know if you think you can live up to this higher standard, because it is a pretty high standard. So let's get started. So September 26th, Smith Wigglesworth, A Higher Standard. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. That's from 2 Corinthians 5:16. The scripture reading is Matthew 16:1-19. Smith says, "To no longer know any man according to the flesh is a great thing. Beloved, we will no longer know any man along natural lines. From this moment, we will know everything only on a spiritual basis."
Wow.
Conversation must be spiritual. We can get distracted after we have had a really good meal. Instead of no longer knowing any man according to the flesh, so that everything is in spiritual fellowship and union, we lower the standard by talking about natural things. If you ride with me, that's Smith Wigglesworth, if you ride with me on a train, you will have to pray or testify.
That
if you
cool.
don't, you will hear a whole lot of talk that will lower the anointing, bring you into a kind of bondage, and make you wish you were riding in another part of the train. But if you break in and have a prayer meeting, you will turn the whole thing around. Go in and pray until you know everybody has been touched by it. If you go out to dinner with anybody today, don't get sidetracked by listening to a long story about the state of their businesses. You must know only one man. Oh, sorry. You must only know one man now, and that is Christ. And he hasn't any business. Yet he is Lord over all businesses. Live in the Spirit, and all things will work together for good to you. If you live for your businesses, you will not know the mind of the Spirit. However, if you live in the heavenly places, you will cause your businesses and all things to come out of their difficulties, for God will fight for you. I won't enter into anything that is lower than spiritual fidelity. When I am preaching spiritually anointed thoughts, I must see that I lift my people into a place where I know the Spirit is leading me to know Jesus. Suppose you know Jesus. What do you say? That he lost out? No, he didn't. But a great deal was put upon him by the people who said, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? That's from Matthew 13, 55 through 56. They said, he is only an ordinary man. He was born the same way we all were. You see him. So what is he? You will never get anything that way. He wasn't an ordinary man if he was born out of the loins of Abraham. Two sons were born to Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael. One was the son of promise and the other wasn't. But Isaac, the son of promise, got the blessings. Isaac was a type of Christ. You can never enter into God's conditions in any way but the spiritual way. For a time, a cloud overshadowed Jesus because of his ancestry. With the Jews, it overshadows him today because the veil is over their eyes. But the veil will be lifted. With the Gentiles, the veil is already lifted. We will see him as the incarnation, as the Holy One of God, as the Son of God, as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We see him as the burden bearer, as our sanctifier, as our cleanser, as our baptizer. Know no one according to the flesh, but see him. As we behold him, all his glory, we will rise. We cannot help but rise in the power of God. Know no man according to the flesh. People want holiness. People want righteousness. People want purity. People have an inward longing to be clothed with the Spirit. May the Lord lead you to the supply of every need, far more than you can ask or think. May the Lord bless you as you are led to dedicate yourself afresh to God this very day. The thought for today, you will draw people if you refuse to be contaminated by the world.
So a couple of thoughts.
Yes. Go ahead.
This is full of wisdoms, and it's moving in a couple of different directions to me. One is that the veil for believers, the veil is lifted off the reality of who Christ is, and then therefore we're so blessed because then the veil off the Bible is lifted and God can speak directly to us through the Bible. So it no longer is just words on a page. It comes to life. Mm-hmm. And I think what he's giving the example of Jesus being the ultimate example of how his lineage and his ancestry, they're like, he's a carpenter, wasn't it? I mean, like, isn't this the son of Mary? Like, he's Jesus, whatever good came out of Nazareth. You know, that's the way they used to speak about him, right? But I think it's also signaling to us, and Paul says, I used to think of him as just a man, and now, of course, no longer I do, that we can't look at anybody and think, oh, but that was that guy, like, that can't be a holy person now. He was that, you know, terrible person before.
Right.
So it gives us all hope to think that we could be looked at in a very holy way. And he's inviting us to look at other people in that same way, is see people through the Spirit, not through the flesh. And that allows people to see you that way. That calls people to you in a unique way. It allows you to live in the Spirit and discern spiritual things instead of fleshly things, instead of businesses and troubles and woe is me. And, you know, look what's happening to our world, but be in the Spirit so that you could draw people to Christ. That basically our entire life should be about drawing people to Christ and us drawing closer to Christ.
Wow. So let's say, as an example,
yes,
that we were at the restaurant that we went to after church yesterday.
Yes.
Lamp-post. And there were people around and, you know, we were talking to people like, what are those wings?
I did that on purpose.
What are those wings you got there? If we were to start a conversation and they said, you know, what do you do for a living? And they say, you know, and we asked them like, I'm in the plumbing business, whatever. Is then right away is what this is saying is right away is said. So,
we're a ministry.
How do you bless your employees? I mean, what is it? I mean, is it that kind of conversation? Like, do you ask them, what is it you do as an employer to?
Well, I wouldn't go there first. No. I mean, like, I prayed before we went to set our divine appointments, mm-hmm, and to give me the opportunity to teach the gospel. It didn't arise. But that's why I went up and I said that. If you remember, I walked over from the restroom and I'm like, oh, I'm wondering what they're checking up on. Around here, and what church do you go to? And that was just an opportunity to others asking about work around and be able to say, oh, we're in the street. Oh, ministry, what are you doing? Oh, we're in the street. And it was the opportunity to open that. Unfortunately, but.
Speaking, it makes it easy. I mean, for us, because
yes,
this is really mostly what we do.
Yes.
So, hey, what you guys do ministry.
Exactly. Perfect.
What we have done if we still working as a contract.
We don't know
that. I want to give the people watching it, they don't have a ministry. I mean, many of them don't have a ministry like we do. How would they do that? The very same way? Like, hey, where do you go to church? Do you go to church? Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I told you when my friend, I have a friend that was evangelized to in a gas station when Justin Bieber came up to him and said, hey, have you ever met Jesus? And people do that a lot. I've heard another great expression, which is like, oh, so do you have a spiritual life? Like, do you have a spiritual belief? Giving a person the opportunity to share where they are, what they believe, and then you have an opportunity to respond.
I found it easiest when I used to carry my book, Walking with God and a Dog, around. And I was on a train in San Jose, on a train in San Jose. And a guy, a young man with a broken arm, was on the train sitting across from me. And we were the only ones in the one car. You know, it was not a train, but a one of those things on the track that has the electricity thing on the top. What do you call it?
Cable cars?
Yeah, like a cable car.
Yeah.
And going from the hotel to the convention center. And I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, I'm all right. I got my broken arm and I got to work. And I go, and he says, you know, and right away he went into like how difficult his life was at that period of time. And I said, wow, I can feel you. And I said, as a matter of fact, I write about that in my book, Walking with God and a Dog. And he goes, wow, you're an author? And then we had this whole conversation. I talked about, you know, how my dog showed me the truth of Jesus Christ.
Oh, nice.
And it started this whole conversation. And I just began to talk about, hey, you know, these are difficult times. Actually, you know, at some point you're going to look back on this and you're going to be able to give it to somebody else and show them how you made it through this difficult time. And that if you start walking with God and read the Bible, and you'll find that the Bible is very useful. It'll teach you a whole lot of stuff. These are the things I remember from the conversation.
Yeah.
So I found it was good to have like even a prop.
There you go. We use our t-shirts, hats.
The whole point of that story is that I had the prop of the book and I was able to lead to this conversation. And in the end, he had a big smile on his face. He goes, wow, I'm glad I ran into you.
Absolutely.
And I gave him the copy of my book and he went off and I've never seen him again. But, you know, you never know again how those divine appointments will lead into something.
Absolutely.
Else.
I think that's why we wear Jesus t-shirts. Our cat likes to visit every now and then. We wear the hats, you know, that have a saying on them. And also, what I did once in the grocery store is I saw one of the checkers that seemed very sad. And I said, hey there, how are you? I'm like, you look kind of like something's bothering you. She's like, yeah, it's just been really difficult since COVID. And I said, cool, can I pray for you? And I just prayed for her. Actually, some of the most significant evangelical moments for me witnessing was just asking somebody if I could pray for them.
Wow.
And that's another method I learned in the course at our church.
Very good. The cat's actually trying to read the Bible back there.
He's
opening the pages of the Bible. So I want to go back. You kind of explained it again, but so that is the title is what is it?
A Higher Standard.
A Higher Standard. So I enter that part of the understand that part of the Higher Standard. But when Smith goes into about Jesus and who he is and that he was an ordinary man, can you touch on that one more time just to make it clear to me? I know everybody else gets it, but why does Smith go into such great length of explaining that Jesus was an ordinary man in the flesh, and people thought, but then we have to also understand that he wasn't ordinary.
I think there was a lot of reasons. One, he's saying to make the analogy First of all, some people are blind. Some people have veils on their eyes and they never understand he is the only begotten son of the father, that he's the burden bearer, that he's the one that could save you from your sins, that he has all of these qualities that some people will never see because they're veiled. And during his lifetime, people said, that's the carpenter's son. Like, why am I going to follow that guy? How could he have knowledge I don't have? I'm a Pharisee. I'm a Sadducee. You know what I mean? I'm a person of stature. Why would I listen to this guy? Because again, they're veiled. And so Wigglesworth's encouraging us, not only don't ever think of Jesus as just an ordinary person, but you shouldn't look at other people in your life as, sorry about that, as ordinary people either, because you have no idea spiritually what they're supposed to become or who they are. And that's why we're supposed to look at people spiritually, because there is potentially a mission there that the Lord wants us to accomplish. And that's why he says, you can't ride in a cable car without praying, or what was the second one he said?
Here I go.
Without praying or testifying, witnessing to people. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And also the important thing, I think, is when he gives the example of Abraham and the two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, I say this to Muslims all the time, that remember, they're two sons born of Abraham. So they all say, we have the root of Abraham. I said, but one has the promise, one doesn't.
Right.
So one is an illegitimate son of Abraham, one isn't. So it's the same as the way they conceived of Jesus. They thought he was an ordinary man, but no, he was the son of the promise. He was God's word in flesh. He was the only begotten son of the Father. So again, you can't just look at something from its exterior. You will never understand its depth that way.
Got it. That's awesome. Hello, Priscilla. Nice to see you. She's driving right now. That's why she had the earlier typo.
Yes.
There's a hi, you. She must have hit a bump.
Hi.
Don't be typing while you're driving. So let's get into, I have a couple of questions about the scripture. Do you mind
let's go.
Going into those a little bit? Let's get into 2 Corinthians 5:16.
So this is Paul talking to the Corinthians. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. And he's speaking in what we call the royal we, which is, I once thought he was a regular man, but of course I no longer do.
It's so cool to have the teachings of the church and doing these devotionals and talking to you and figuring out, because it, just with the one word we, you know, and it causes now me, and never before did I do this where I go, why does he say we? Because I now know that Paul didn't live when Jesus lived. So when he says we, I got to thinking, why would he say we when he wasn't around with Jesus? And that's the thing, is that as a Jewish man, a Jewish Roman who was killing Christians, yes, thought Jesus was just an ordinary man.
Exactly. Giving people a context, like I thought he was a regular person and right. I changed and so I was important. The one that was persecuting them, then you can change too.
Yeah, it's just really, as we go through the Bible and read these, it just builds more instead of less.
Amen.
Once you begin to know more about it, it just really makes it that.
And it's
more.
Like almost like peeling an onion. It just there's layers and layers and layers and layers. And yeah. It's so beautiful.
So we're going to read all of Matthew 16, 1 through 19.
I don't know.
I actually like it.
You do? Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, let's do it.
Okay.
So this is 1 through 19, Matthew 16. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, when evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy because the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the sign of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away. Basically like, I'm going to give you nothing except that you're going to see fire and brimstone rain down. Right. That's the only sign you're going to get.
It's like because the sign of the times now.
Exactly.
Right.
Because you're blind and you're veiled and you're never going to get it. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They discussed this among themselves and said, see, now you don't have to feel so bad, because if they even couldn't understand Jesus, who are we, right?
Right.
It is because we didn't bring any bread. aware of the discussion. Jesus, oh yeah, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for 5,000, or how many basketfuls you gathered, or the 7 loaves for 4,000, and how many basketfuls you gathered then? How is it you don't understand? I was not talking about bread. But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When Jesus came to the reign of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Meaning, like, who do people think I am? They replied, well, some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others say Jeremiah, or just one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, oh, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of kingdom of the heaven. When you bind, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. And what I love about this is that he's saying, the fact that that was revealed to him is the same thing he's teaching us, that the only way the veils get lifted is by God. He's saying, you didn't figure that out.
Right.
God lifted that veil from you, which is what he still continues to do this day, because people pick up the Bible and it's like, what? Why do I have to read this? This is just some dude, you know?
And I love that Pastor Jack Hibbs had this very same scripture today that he, in his message.
Exactly.
The very same thing. So amazing.
2 Corinthians 3:14-16, but their minds were blinded. And that's, you know, this whole theme. That's all the scripture is reinforcing Wigglesworth theme of you're blinded until the Lord unveils you. So, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. That's the only way we understand the Bible fully, is when Christ takes away those veils. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Amen.
Awesome.
Yes. Yes.
It's like a touchdown.
Isn't it? John 1:14, as we all, very famous verse, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
A lot of scripture today.
Yes. And I think we read this, the Matthew 13, is this not the carpenter's son? And then Hebrews 7:5, and verily they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. So Paul is explaining that even though they all were sons of Abraham, the sons of Levi had a stature above the rest. Mm. And so he's using that as an analogy for the rest of us, that people spiritually have different statures, and we just have to have discernment to understand who's who.
Got it. Last one.
Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us.
Mm. Wow. What a way to finish. Just really quick, and again, you can see down there, I'm saying, please comment. That would be awesome if you guys would just say hi, say if you have any thoughts about what it is we're reading, thoughts about the devotional, how difficult or easy it is for you to speak to somebody about Jesus when you don't know them. They're just like, you're just meeting for the first time, or you're planning a meeting to meet with somebody, and how easy or difficult is it to talk about Jesus Christ, even in your own family? It may be harder in your family than
it is
with strangers.
For sure it is. Because you're like, oh, no, am I going to try this again? And I think it's so important to pray first. And I love that Wigglesworth said that you're going to pray or testify, is that when you pray first to have those divine appointments, you go into every situation as a mission field. Like, we don't need to go to Africa to evangelize. We can evangelize in the grocery store, in the ice cream store.
Yep.
Wherever we go, and everywhere becomes a mission field.
Yes. It's interesting how it's been, and it may be because we do the devotional. And so if people ask about us, that's the first place we go. So it makes it a little bit easier, but I can feel that we've done that way more often. And I mean, even praying in the restaurant, we talked about that before, where yes. the waitress will come by and goes, wow, I really enjoyed the fact that you guys prayed. That happened again just recently over in the, at Polly's. Remember the family stopped us?
Oh,
remember?
Yeah. And the whole family and told us about their missionary work and what countries they had served in. Yeah.
There were all the kids and we prayed with the whole, with all the kids and everything. And they thought that was really cool to see. A couple questions. First is one that's not this one here, but it's, we did something different. And you love it when I bring stuff up. And
telling me. He loves
camera.
To do that.
But today, normally what we do, is just so you know, when we come on, is that we read the devotional. We bring up the scripture. So we have them already up on the tabs on Chrome. And then as we, you know, then we click them and we read them. After all that, then we pray and then we go live. Today, you shook it up a little bit and you said, let's pray before we even read the devotional. Was there a difference?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I mean, what did I pray for? I was like, Lord, speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this is your word. We are your children. Your Holy Spirit dwells within us. Speak to us so that we can understand this, the breadth and scope of the scripture that we were about to read. So I don't know if for you it made a difference, but for me, it definitely did.
No, for sure. Because especially the second time I read it, you know, on when we went live. As usual, it's much better, but there actually was almost like a movie running in my head.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's like, I was seeing the people I was seeing, there was like a little bit more of a movie
live.
on a white sheet in the backyard.
Yes.
That is completely
awesome.
Clear, but there was like these people and talking and all this kind of stuff. And then seeing myself in a restaurant talking to somebody, was all kind
of
running through my head.
About.
The second time I read it. The other reason I ask is because I think that's something that even I could be better at. And that is praying before you and I have a discussion about something, maybe, you know, something important, not pray every time before we talk to each other. I mean, we need to have a discussion about this or that or the other thing. I don't know. I think today you said, is it okay if I ask you about something? I forgot what it was, even having let's pray really quick, even a quick
yes.
prayer might, you know, and I know people have talked about that before a husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancés, you know, before they have a challenging discussion about
yes.
an incident, that it's best to pray.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to remember that when sometimes you're kind of like.
And actually, I oftentimes, and when we first started going out, I did it quite often.
Yeah.
And I actually think about it before I start talking and I pray to myself,
yep.
but I realize that
that
we should pray together because you're probably not aware of how much goes into my thought process before I do speak about something. So, it is because there's a different spirit that comes, you know, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am present, the Lord mm-hmm. says. So, I think it'll send a different spiritual energy around both of us if we pray out loud.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now to my question, and you answered this, I think, very well, so I think other people should hear it, because sometimes we read these descriptors of people, right, in the Bible. And like me, I'm a history buff. I do like history, but I sometimes just try to assume that I know what they're talking about. So in the scripture, what was it? Was it 2 Corinthians?
I think it was Matthew.
Matthew. Yeah, it was Matthew, as a matter of fact. So in Matthew, it talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. I was wondering, what's the difference? I thought the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees was like rankings in the Jewish faith. Like a captain, a lieutenant, and a sergeant. Like,
well, I don't know if one of them is a higher rank, but yeah, go on. But I'm not going to exclude that there may be rankings among mm-hmm. them, but that's not the main difference as I understood.
What's your understanding?
My understanding is that they're different denominations of the religious elite, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so they have different doctrinal interpretations of the law and they have different leadership. And so I use the example for Andy because we watched the Chosen where they actually, the people that were complaining about Jesus went to these different camps, hoping to get different results from the desire to incriminate Jesus. And so they say, well, if we go to this one, he's got the issue with this teacher, and he's usually by the book, doesn't want to cause conflict. He doesn't want strife in the community. So let's go to the other guy. So basically kind of competing factions of the religious elite. Now, so, is one higher than the other? I believe the Pharisees may be higher, but I'm not sure.
Maybe just more elite.
Right. There may be some kind of socio economic or socio intellectual ranking between them, but I'm not sure.
Or the belief that they're elite, like Democrats and Republicans, deplorables and the elite.
Yes, there you go.
So you could have Pharisees and Sadducees not really, you know, get along on a lot of issues, but they were in agreement that Jesus was a challenge to their.
And of course, because he's basically saying, you don't, I am the fulfillment of the law.
Cool.
And I am God incarnate and I can forgive sin. So basically he was, if unless they could understand prophecy, which is what Paul was explaining, they couldn't understand or accept that he was the fulfillment of prophecy. So to them, he was just a heretic. Mm-hmm. If he's not the Messiah, then he's a heretic.
Right. All right. So we were at Calvary Cappuccino Hills today for our service that we do with Jack Hibbs, that we do with him. We don't do it with him. Well, I guess we do.
Well, we
sit there in the front row and
we listen.
Yeah, we listen. We take notes.
Yes.
I transcribe everything he says.
Yes.
And then sometimes I read it afterwards, or we refer to it on other things that we're doing in our ministry, which is great. It's a great opportunity to be able to take some really great words about the Bible and the truth. There are a couple things that were my takeaways, and I'm sure you have your takeaways. But what I love, and he's kind of joking, but I think he's also not joking, and he thinks it's going to work, but it never works. And that is that the church is just growing like crazy.
We have four services now.
And so he moved
our time of church is changing.
He went from three services to four services in one day. And that is a lot. It's going to take a whole nother team of people to put together a fourth service of greeters and parking people and security. And
I think that's why they decided against a Saturday.
Yeah. Because
they'd have to staff up the church for a whole nother day.
Bring them all. I mean, they'd all come. At least some people would stay over in the children's ministry and that kind of stuff. But it's going to be a lot. But my point in bringing that up is that he talks about that. He goes, I thought being in Romans and being in Hebrews on Wednesdays was going to thin out the church, and it's just not working.
Yes.
And so I want to get your feedback on I think there's a little bit that he thought maybe that would work.
He did.
I think that he's sincere.
Yeah.
But everybody kind of laughs and says, no, it's causing it to grow. Why do you think something that he thinks is going to be challenging and probably challenging to other churches, why is it not doing what he thinks it's supposed to do? Not supposed to do, but why is it not having the effect he thought it was going to have?
Ironically, I have very strong opinions about this.
I want to hear.
In case you guys haven't met me, I have strong opinions about almost everything.
I haven't noticed.
It is.
Hey, Peggy, nice to see you.
Peggy.
Thanks for joining us. That's so awesome.
I think it's what I often write about, because I think it's something that the Lord puts on my heart coming out of Islam and actually coming not only out of Islam, but the study of terrorism, that people assume that Christianity is weak. And for so long in this country, people have been fed a watered down Christianity. There's no end times discussion. There's no book of Revelation. There's no talk about battle. There's no talk about standing for what you believe in. There's no incorporation of the church in politics. And he's just breaking that mold. And I spent 20 years studying what radicalizes Muslim youth. And inevitably, what drew them to radical Islam was discipline, strength, power, a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. All those things that Christ does in perfection, like being a soldier, dying for the Lord, dying to self in order to have eternal life, all the things, all of our doctrine that is perfected, that basically Islam is a counterfeit of, Jack's teaching.
Right.
And he's teaching it as the biblical truths. So people, this is something Pastor Mark Driscoll of Trinity says all the time, what the Lord creates, Satan counterfeits. So basically every religion, especially Islam, is a counterfeit of Christianity. So it is basically Satan's interpretation of scripture to recruit, because I mean, it's the largest growing religion in the world. So there's a billion Christians or so and a billion Muslims. So they basically take what's great about Christianity and counterfeit it. Hmm. And so when people look at it, they're like, oh no, we're not supposed to battle. Wait a minute. Are you people reading the Bible? We absolutely do battle. Yes, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal and they're for pulling down strongholds of satanic forces in the heavenly realms, but we are using those forces to defeat enemies in this life. You know what I mean? And so it is, we hate the sin, not the sinner. So basically he's taking the same doctrines, but in a perfected way, mm-hmm. so that it's not indiscriminate violence. There's no compulsion in the religion. God doesn't force you to believe as he does in Islam, because there is no authentic power. So Islam requires compulsion, but Jesus doesn't require compulsion. It's an invitation. You have to use your free will. And once you use your free will, you will do everything that Christ expects of you, because we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's not in our own strength.
That's a great, strong opinion.
Hope it made sense.
So I don't know if this is fair, and I'm not sure people get upset if I do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so we went to Yorba Linda Friends Church, where I was a member of the church for 15 years or yes. so, something like that, for a very long time. So I love the church. I love the people there. You notice I know a few people
absolutely.
There and say hi to people and shake hands. And when we go to Yorba Linda Friends Church and we go to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, we can see a distinct difference, even though it sounds like Matthew's picking it up a few steps. Matthew Cork, who's the lead pastor over at Yorba Linda Friends Church, seems to be picking it up a little bit. But you can still see that if I can explain it this way, and I just want to say that I feel like Yorba Linda Friends Church for me is like a warm blanket.
Like elevation is of goodness. So comfy.
Yeah.
Yes.
That nothing was controversial that he said yesterday, which
it's like,
is okay.
It's like fettuccine.
Which is okay.
It's comfort food.
Yes. But it was good, solid. It was a good, yes. solid message of
it was an invitation. To read God's yep. word. It was compelling.
And understand that Jesus needs to be dwelt within you.
Yes.
And it was a very good message. I mean, I was very proud of Matthew, not that he needs me to okay his stuff, but very proud of how he's now seems to be saying, you know, we need to step this up a little bit. And yes. and so I want to.
And I pray that the church grows.
Yeah,
with that
I want to go there and support them. So we're going to continue going to Saturdays as long yes. as we can get there. And then also attending Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills.
Well, one's home.
Yep.
You know, I think the difference for me, at least, is Pastor Jack is my pastor.
Right.
So I consider myself a disciple of Pastor Jack. He is my shepherd, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that God speaks very profoundly to us through him, because he's like, you know, he's our shepherd.
Right.
But that never would stop me from learning from other teachers. I think it's a great
good
blessing.
Stuff. I mean, really some really good stuff yesterday. And it's part of a series that we're going through, that I'm going through with a men's group. And so each message on Saturday and Sundays over at Yorba Linda Friends Church is part of an 8-week series of spiritual rhythms.
Yes.
And so, and then we go to church today with Jack, and it is a strong message. It is one that's not for, you know, he's just so strong. It's strong in the sense that, hey, if you can't handle this, get out. And don't show up. Like, if you're not willing.
And the more he says that, the more you want to go.
Yeah.
What? You think I'm not strong enough?
And I think my other favorite part, and then I would like you to share what you thought was your favorite part. I may be stealing one of yours. But the one part of the message that had to do with it, you can leave the church as long as you have the Holy Spirit, you're born again. And if you find yourself challenged and you go, I'm so mad at God because of whatever, and you leave, that you can leave the church, you can leave the building, you can leave the state, you can leave the country, but God will always be there.
He's chasing after the one.
He's going to chase after you, and you. He's always.
Thank God.
I'm here. And you're trying to hide, and you're going, you know, trying to go other places. And then, oh, there's God. And I love what he was talking about that. And then one more was the story of the dark room, you know, the down the hallway, the room was dark.
Oh,
and
his granddaughter.
And the in description of what Jesus would do. You know, my dad would have said, you go down that hallway and stop your whining and then push me down the hallway into the dark, which is, you know, it works for some people. Or, you know, you would, if the granddaughter says, you go and turn on the light for me, then some people would go and turn the light on for you. And that's basically not what Jesus would do. Jesus would grab you by the hand and walk with you
Amen.
Down that hallway. That's such a great example of a of what Jesus would do as opposed to either of the other options.
Absolutely.
So amazing. What about you?
What really stuck with me is him saying that every day you either draw closer to the Lord or closer to wrath. Mm. And that that was his message of Romans 2 and in the first five verses, that you got a choice, and every day you make a choice, and every day you make a choice, and you should be praying, meditating, thinking about your life and being, am I drawing closer or farther? Closer or farther? And that you constantly seek to draw closer. And you're drawing close because of God's goodness and God's ultimate justice, and knowing that he's good all the time, and he is just all the time, regardless of what you're going through.
Right. And you gave an example of, you know, some churches say that, and I think it's probably other faiths, not necessarily Christianity, but where they say, it's okay. Later on, you can
decide.
You can decide. You know, just keep coming to church. But later on, if you want to accept the Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, or you want to follow God, or you want to believe that the word in the Bible is true, you can decide later. Yeah, but you leave the church and get hit by a bus. Right? So why would you want to put that off?
Yeah.
Why would you want to wait? And so I thought that was really good. So just understanding that it's one or the other.
Yes.
I like the black and white.
I do too. I'm about black and white.
I actually was thinking earlier that I think that's one of the things why some people struggle with anxiety and fear is that there's too many people that think that there's other options, right? That there's 30 sexes, that there's more than one way to Jesus Christ and way to heaven, more than one way to heaven, that there's more than one way to do things. And it's kind of like going into one of those burger joints, like John's Burgers. And you walk into the restaurant and the menu, it goes
from one end to the
other way. And you go, the anxiety, like, I don't know what I want. Like, what's good here? Help me out. I can't decide.
How can I possibly?
Like, there's so much anxiety in ordering where you go to In-N-Out Burger. I know you don't like In-N-Out Burger, but it's like
yeah.
Burger
or cheeseburger
or a burger
or a double cheeseburger. Well, actually I had this, me and my daughter were at the mall the other day and there was this couple. Don't even ask me what gender they were. I don't even know what one of the people in the couple, I don't know what gender they were, but they had a tail. And I said, yes, a tail. And I said to my daughter, she taught me like a year ago that some people think they're furries. And so I was like, is that a furry? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, and the tail was green. And I was like, well, what furry is that? That the tail is green. And she's like, I don't know. Maybe it's a bunny, but it doesn't have to be the color of the animal. It's just that they want to be thought of as an animal. Oh, people pray for us because these conversations with my daughter, me having to remain calm during this conversation is absolutely like really takes the grace of God. But she was explaining to me that some of the kids in school are also furries. And I said, okay, so what do they wear at school? And she's like, well, some of them wear mouse ears and some of them wear cattails. And I was like, so what is that like waking up every day and not knowing or trying to decide, am I human? Am I a boy? Am I a girl? Do I like boys? Do I like girls? Do I like boys and girls? Or am I a furry? Am I an animal? Am I like the state of confusion and see what a trick the Satan is causing. Forget a menu. Can you imagine every day you woke up, you didn't know who you were? Can you imagine like waking up every day being like, am I a cat? Maybe I'm a cat. I mean, I that's literally Satan just grabbing hold of their minds and just turning it into silly putty.
I know. I mean, it's hard enough. I can't imagine having to go through all those decisions, because I used to just go into my closet and get dressed.
Yeah.
But now I have to go in my closet and think about what it is you want me to wear. And so, I mean, you know, you see what I'm saying, though? It just caused like, oh, is this
I didn't need black? To match.
Is this blue?
That's my demand. Is that it actually match?
So,
and it's not been worn more than twice.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, yes. You add these things. Like, why are you doing that to yourself? It's
adding all a species? Choice. Can you imagine adding a species? Yes. That you have to decide whether you're human. I think I'm going to put tail on today.
No wonder there's so much anxiety and depression and stress and, you know.
Exactly.
Suicide is rising. That they've just put so much in the children's heads through the friends and the social media and the teachers and, you know, we're combating some of the stuff going on at school right now because of these reasons. And then, like Jack was saying, this is the truth. This right here.
That's it.
If you need to just stay here and you are safe and the fear will begin to dissolve away.
And what I overwhelmingly try to get across every single time we point to these things is the Bible is truth and God loves you. If you're struggling, am I a furry? Am I a boy? If I'm a girl, ask God to help you stop struggling. Right. But don't try to make a new truth. Like, he still loves you even if you're struggling. Going back to our original conversation, right. If you're the one and he's got the 99, he will chase after you. But you've got to let him in. You've got to have an open heart. You have to be willing to let God lead you instead of saying he's wrong.
Yeah.
Except that he's right and know that he loves you anyways.
And if you have a question, don't go to Instagram. If you have a question, go to the Bible.
Yes.
I used to go to a bar.
Yes. Right?
I used to go to a couple buddies.
And you're not looking for an answer to a question. You're looking to relieve stress.
right.
Because worry creates anxiety and anxiety creates temptation. Mm. And we just want relief, right?
Yeah. Temptation. I love you.
I love you too.
Oh, you're amazing. I love that you love me.
Oh, yes, thank
you. I love
you
and I love that you love me. Can I ask you to pray?
Absolutely.
For our children in this world.
Of course.
And for those that need to just understand that the Bible is the truth.
Amen. Yes. Heavenly Father, we come to your throne and we are on bended knee with arms raised high, asking for your mercy and your grace. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit fire to fall fresh on us, to fall fresh on our families, on our cities, our communities, on our children, and inspire them with the truth. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became wrapped in flesh and dwelt among us. Just have them experience you, Lord. We can't force them to believe, but you can open their hearts and give them ears to hear and eyes to see. That's our prayer, Lord. We stand in the gap, and we ask that you open every single one of their eyes and open their ears to hear and their hearts to receive you, Lord, because that is the only solution. That's the only solution for our lives, for our cities, for our country. And we ask for your respite. We know that wrath comes upon those who turn away from the Lord. And we ask for, even if there were two or three believers left, that you would spare our country, that you would spare our people, that you would grant us respite from your wrath for just a little while longer, Lord, for as long as you will permit, for as long as there is one believer on the world, and as you're raising your remnant, Lord, that you would grant us grace and peace. We are so grateful to be saved and to be redeemed, and we just want to share the love of Christ with everyone around us. And we ask that you give us that opportunity, that you give us the robes of the royal priesthood so that we may walk and that people will be convicted of their sin and they will repent and turn to you, Lord. We ask to draw no one to ourselves, but to draw everyone to your Son, your only begotten Son, that you have sent to pay for our sins, Lord. Wow, what an amazing free gift. Thank you for saving us, and thank you for saving our family members and our community members. And we pray this all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Nice. So good. Hey, Priscilla, I hope you didn't close your eyes while you were praying because you're driving. That's crazy.
She's glad she doesn't have teenagers anymore. Yeah, you're so lucky. It's a real crazy time. But pray for our teenagers and all of our teenagers in this country and our world that are facing crazy, insurmountable obstacles. I told Andy, I said, when we were kids, it was like wanting to have a pink mohawk, shaving your head, wearing punk rock clothes, wearing skirts that were too short, and fighting your parents, and drinking and doing drugs, whether in the hippies were LSD and popping shrooms and acid. And now it's like, do you have to wake up and decide if you're human? I mean, it's really, hopefully it'll run its course out of its idiocy.
Yeah.
You know? But pray for them.
That's all we can ask.
Yes.
All right. I was just thinking, and I'm so sorry. I know I was going to sign off there, but I was just thinking that for some reason, God gave us these children and we have a lot more experience than most parents.
Yes.
Most parents with kids our age are in their 20s and 30s and we are in our 50s.
Yes.
And I'm going to admit that you're in your 50s.
Speak for yourself. Are you just telling us that everybody thinks I'm so much younger? Somebody in church today would looked at him and was like, wow, she's really young compared to you. And I was like, I know, right? I just fell in love with this old man.
So it back was to like my point. Back to my point. Walking around with an oxygen tank in my nose I feel that as you were saying that prayer, it came to me. I don't know. It's just that you have these children for a reason.
No, and, for sure.
You can, and these children are going to be meant for something.
Amen.
Based on what God has given us as a gift of our experience.
Yes.
And our the things that we know to be true. Now,
amen.
And how different maybe our lives would have been if we would had Jesus in our lives.
Yes.
And help them not make the same mistakes in some ways. And then we have some areas here that we never had to deal with.
Yep.
Some of the stuff.
And even like Matt was saying last night that we shouldn't overly shield our children because that will be part of their walk, part of their testimony. Hmm. And so we pray that they just don't fall too far over to one side or another and that the Lord gives them over to a debased mind, because that could happen too. You deny the Lord long enough and he'll give you over.
Yeah.
And so we pray the Lord doesn't give anyone's children over to the enemy.
Absolutely. All right, folks, thanks for watching. And Priscilla, thanks for joining us at church today, physically at church today. And
yes.
We're going to pray for the guy that was sitting next to you.
Yes. Not necessarily together, but meaning we're praying for him too.
Yeah, he gets a better singing voice. I love that guy.
He's sweet.
Really cool. Yes, I love him.
Our new church mate.
Yes. All right. God bless you, Sean. He's probably not watching, but we're going to say it anyway.
Yes.
All right. We love you guys. God bless you.
God bless.
All right. Take care. Have a great Sunday night. Bye.